This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. African Americans are disproportionately arrested for marijuana charges. That's true nationwide and also in Oakland. More than three-quarters of people there arrested for having pot in 2015 were African American. Meanwhile, almost all of the city's medical marijuana dispensaries are white-owned, meaning white people in Oakland are profiting off pot while African Americans are serving time for it. Now that California has legalized recreational marijuana, Oakland officials are trying to instill some equity into the business. One idea is to set aside marijuana business licenses specifically for people impacted by the war on drugs. But critics say that's an impractical approach, and it has some pot entrepreneurs wanting to take their businesses elsewhere. KALW's Holly J. McDeed reports.
One more. Have a little breakfast at Champions.
Chip Moore is what he calls a lifelong weed enthusiast.
You know, cannabis culture is real. There was a time it was locked in the shadows and people were quiet about it. And, you know, I've seen it in my lifetime.
He runs a cannabis collective based in an undisclosed location in Oakland. It's called 420 Blackbirds. You know, like the nursery rhyme. When Californians voted to legalize recreational weed for adults last November, thousands geared up for the potential pot bonanza. Moore wants to set up shop and bring his cannabis collective out into the open, green Oakland grass. His dream is to set up a space for people to feel free to talk weed, eat edibles, exchange ideas, and feel creative and inspired.
We want to have a positive effect. We want to be an anchor of that community.
But Moore, as an African-American cannabis enthusiast knows, historically, it hasn't been easy for people who look like him to sell weed. And even though it's largely legal in California now, that doesn't wipe away the past.
We can't recognize where we are now without all of those people who have, you know, come before us. And that's on the corners and that's in the jails. So that's more of my world.
The city of Oakland is trying to create a better world for people like Chip Moore. So they're organizing business meetups, like this cannabis mixer at City Hall, to help people connect. Everyone from the prosperous cannabis businessman to the drug dealer who served time behind bars is here to learn how to apply for a permit, to get involved in Oakland's legal weed world. Today's lesson starts out on a more philosophical than practical note.
But I want to talk a little bit about the arc of the moral universe that it bends toward justice.
That's Darlene Flynn, Oakland's first ever race and equity director. Her job is to help right past wrongs against African Americans and Latinos. And she wants to stake out her place in the history of civil rights victories.
Brown versus the Board of Education, and of course the Fair Housing Act of 1968.
And she says, in between those big milestones.
In between those big things, lots of little things, like what we're doing today, like what we're about in this equity program that we put together for cannabis, lots of little.
Cannabis. Flynn sees legalized weed as the next civil rights frontier. When she started last fall, her first task was to study the impact of weed arrests on equality in Oakland.
The inequities in Oakland, the racial inequities in Oakland, are as stark as ever. They're not getting better. And there's a way in which the city's policies have contributed to that, and that we can tell.
Under the equity program, half of the permits the city issues to new marijuana business ventures must go to those who have been negatively impacted by the war on drugs. That could mean they lived in an Oakland police beat with a huge number of pot arrests, or they have a weed-related conviction. Only Oakland residents can apply for these equity permits. It's a deliberate way of helping people of color beat the odds, kind of like affirmative action for weed.
The fact that we acknowledge the disparities and own them in the report that we put out signals to the community, I think, that we're at least trying to move into a new era where things will be more fair and equitable.
But Robert Selna, a lawyer who represents marijuana businesses, says all these rules could keep some weed entrepreneurs away from Oakland. If half of the permits are set aside for a certain type of applicant, he says, that doesn't leave enough for everybody else.
Whether it has to do with somebody's income or somebody's residence or somebody's race, if you have a narrow criteria for an applicant versus a wide criteria for an applicant, you're going to get a lot more applications from the one that's broader than you are from the narrow criteria. There just aren't going to be as many people applying. And so immediately you have a application process where there's going to be a bottleneck.
And fewer applicants, he says, could mean less tax revenue for Oakland. Much of that same tax revenue is already earmarked for cannabis job training for low-income communities.
Why would you reduce the number of permits you're issuing and therefore the taxes that you're generating through that program? It was a self-defeating approach.
It's not just the big shot lawyers who are worried. At an art gallery in Oakland, Chip Moore, the weed enthusiast, is in his element at a First Friday party, surrounded by like-minded people who love weed and the whole culture that comes with it.
And tonight we're celebrating our company, our friends, our family, our network, and how far we've come in this struggle. So it's a celebration.
Moore has a lot of reasons to throw a pot party. He's found a building in Oakland to set up what he's calling a cannabis cultural center. But he says this equity application process has slowed him down. Moore lives in Berkeley, so he's just out of reach of Oakland equity permits.
We are the poster child for the equity program. So for Oakland to be like, oh, let's slow you guys down. And for the parameters they've chosen, that's what hurts.
But for Moore, it's bigger than that. Oakland officials have described the equity program as a way of paying reparations for past wrongs.
Reparations is a powerful word. When you say, hey, we are going to better a community, and these are the ways that we're going to do it, the world will watch. And make no mistake, there are emerging markets that are watching now if this will work.
And if it doesn't work?
One, the word reparations takes a hit. And as an African-American, I don't like that. And then two, the idea of creating equity within the cannabis industry, it loses its importance, right? Tried, let's move on. And we don't want people to say, oh, we tried that, let's move on, right? There's not going to be a second shot at this.
But for the city's race and equity director, Darlene Flynn, that's exactly why trying this equity program now matters. And to people saying Oakland's going to lose money on this?
First of all, we don't know what the revenue is, so we're speculating. All this revenue we could be losing, or all this revenue that we're going to be gaining, or we don't know. It's all highly speculative at this point in time.
And even if there is a ton of money to be made,
we think, well, if we just rush ahead and collect the revenue, then we'll be ahead of the game. And we never factor in the cost of leaving people behind and leaving people out. So we may get more revenue and have more poverty. And have you gotten ahead when you do that?
The permitting process just began last spring, and the applications are rolling in. Some will get the green light to enter the pot market. Others may have to wait in line. But remember, the arc of the moral universe is long. Come January, the new era of legal weed will begin in California. For Cross Currents in Oakland, I'm Holly J. McDeed.